Ignite your life with passion and purpose. Your health, your wealth, your happiness. Make it good. This is Modern Love with Dr. Brenda Wade.
A big thank you to Rainbow Grocery, our favorite grocery store here in the San Francisco Bay Area, for being our sponsor. Because a healthy body is a sexy body.
Ooh, yes, a healthy body is a sexy body. And it's Valentine's Day, everyone. And I know a lot of you modern lovers are thinking about getting in your groove tonight. And so sex is going to play a part, I hope. Because it's so good for you. And when all is said and done, music is the balm that soothes the soul. And according to Psychology Today and latest research, there are four reasons that music affects our love lives. Are you ready? Number one, music boosts our hormones. Yes, more endorphins. Yes, more serotonin. Yes, it enhances production of those nice sexual hormones too. Number two, music makes you easier to approach because you're more relaxed, you're more in the flow, your energy's up. Number three, music influences how you see potential partners. If you're feeling relaxed and the music is wonderful, you're going to see potential partners as more attractive. And finally, music equals pleasure. Pleasure equals S-E-X. So this Valentine's Day, we're going to go beyond the words and explore the music of love. This is a very special edition of Modern Love Radio. Take a listen to this.
The very thought of you makes my heart sing like an April breeze on the wings of spring. And you appear in all your splendor, my one and only love. The shadows fall and spread their mystic charms in the hush of night while you're in my arms. I feel your lips so warm and
That is lovely. I feel your lips so warm. Well, everybody, that was My One and Only Love, a selection from Invitation, Nicholas Beard's latest album. And it is nestled firmly in the top 20 of the Jazz Week charts. And this new work sizzles with selections from classic jazz songbooks. And tonight, our guest is the one and only Nicholas Beard himself. He's an accomplished actor as well as a jazz singer of remarkable depth, range, technique. He's won acclaim from critics, jazz audiences worldwide, who describe his voice as a buttery baritone, as you just heard. And imaginative interpretations are his specialty. His brilliant, lush vocals combine passion, wit, and sensuality. Nicholas has a unique approach, and he has an electrifying delivery of his original time-tested standards, blues, other familiar works, which are all soulful, swinging, and memorable. So welcome to Modern Love Radio, Nicholas Beard. So great to have you here.
It's so nice to be here. Thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So where are you from? How did you get started in music? Because I've had the honor and pleasure of being at your concerts at Yoshi's and catching up with you in Seattle and venues all over the U.S. How did you get started? I remember you being down in Savannah, Georgia at a concert, and I loved it. Mm-hmm. How did you get started?
Well, I kind of came out of the womb singing, I guess. You know, my earliest earliest memories as a child, I was singing, and as one of seven kids, the second of seven kids.
You're the second of seven? I never knew that.
I'm the second of seven, yes.
I'm the second of seven, so hey.
Are you?
There must be something about that number two in a lineup of seven.
Simpatico. Yeah, a little simpatico there. Yeah, but I was the one in the family who was singing all the time. I don't know where it comes from. Maybe it's the deep vibe of the southern vibe of Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, you're from Nashville. Well, that explains
Nashville,
a lot.
Tennessee, yes.
If that isn't the hotbed of song in the United States, I don't know what is.
Well, it is, and at the time it was more on the country and western side, which I never really picked up, but just something in my spirit, in my soul, or whatever.
Now, doesn't Nashville also have a very strong blues scene?
Well, it has a strong gospel music scene. Blues, I'm not sure of, because I'm not so much in touch with the scene directly there now,
mm-hmm.
having lived in California for low these many decades. But, you know, when I was a young kid, it was primarily country music and a little bit of blues. Some gut bucket blues, you might call it.
Bucket blues. What's the difference between bucket blues and other kinds of blues?
No, gut bucket blues.
Gut bucket. Ooh, it's
gut
getting
blues.
Coming
blues
from the gut.
You got it. Yeah,
can
that's
you,
blues
can you
on
give
the
us
bottom,
a,
you know.
Blues on the bottom. Give us. Can you give us a little hum on what gut bucket sounds
oh,
like?
Oh, you don't want to go there.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
you know that only
that's a whole lot. I lost
more.
My baby, and I got to cut up my boyfriend, my girlfriend's boyfriend. You know that kind of stuff. Yeah.
I see. All right, now I've got it. Now
yeah, it's
we
a
know
little hardcore.
And my dog got run over by blah blah.
All of that.
Okay.
All of that. Yeah.
All right, got it. Now I understand your mother used to have card parties, and that
yeah.
played a part.
Yeah, she had a bunch of girlfriends she used to hang out with, and they all liked to drink their Schlitz malt liquor and you know, a little scotch on the side and all that kind of stuff. And they would play bid whist, which is a partner is a card game. But
oh, don't I know what it is?
Yeah, you know what it is.
I was addicted to it in college.
two people playing against two more people. That's you know, it's a partner game. And it's really just a vehicle for completely castigating somebody's personality and character.
Oh, that's right. I'm going to run a Boston on you.
Run a
rise
Boston.
And fly.
Yeah, hope
I
you
know.
Got your ticket, you know. All that
uh-oh,
stuff.
That's right.
But, yeah, they'd be in there whooping and hollering. But, you know, those card parties were always laced with music. Billy Eckstein, Cab Calloway, Duke Ellington, all of that. And then a little blues in there, too. For color and flavor, and I would be kind of staying up late with my ear to the door, you know, listening to that music and listening to them, as we say, telling lies about each other.
Honey, hush.
Having fun. That's exactly her phrase. How'd you know that? I heard honey, hush so much in my childhood. Honey, hush. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what was
yeah.
your mom's favorite song?
Well, I don't know. It's kind of hard to say, but, you know, because I heard that she had such a broad musical palette and the things she liked. My father was deep into the blues. I mean, he listened to the blues all the time. And for the short period of time that I knew him, and he died when I was about 12, so I didn't really get to experience much of his character and personality. Mm-hmm. And when he was alive, he spent a lot of time away working. He was a contractor, so he would have to go where the work was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so he was gone a fair amount, you know, months at a time and that kind of thing, working in various cities outside of Nashville. But when he was around, he'd have the radio turned on to either a baseball game, a fight, or some blues.
Wow.
So I got to know a lot of blues music. Through my mother, I got to hear a lot of jazz, and she liked Sarah Vaughan and as I say, Eckstein and Ellington and good people like that. So she
mm-hmm.
listened to a broad palette of things.
So you were exposed to all kinds of music through both your father and your mother. You've got the range
absolutely.
Of blues, classics, jazz. No wonder you can sing anything.
Yeah,
no
and
wonder.
Of course, you know, And of course, all of my contemporaries, all the kids that I hung around with, we were all listening to Motown.
Ah, of course.
And all of that, all that great R&B from the, you know, from that era.
Well,
so
that played a role for you because I understand you left home at 18 and spent 2 years in Japan in the military, and that's where R&B started to emerge for you.
Well, that's where when I became a part of a real working band. So I became part of a. Well, I worked at various little combos over there, but then I got hooked up with this 10-piece R&B band. We had a tour bus, and we played all the big night spots throughout Japan, the Tokyo area, and you know a good deal away from there. We had our tour bus, so we'd go, you know, do some overnight gigs and that kind of thing. So,
now was
that
before or after you left the military?
That was during the military.
During the military, so wow.
Yeah, so we'd work our 8 hours during the day and hop in the tour bus and, you know, go down to whatever the gig was and work until 2 or 3 in the morning and drive back and stumble into work and work another 8 hours, you know, that kind of thing.
Stumble in bleary-eyed, but, you know,
stumble
you were young
bleary-eyed.
And you could do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sleep. What is that? We'll sleep on Saturday, you know.
Right.
Or
exactly.
Sunday morning.
So what did you do after you left Japan?
Well, after I left Japan, I went to L.A. I got married, and I moved to Los Angeles and did some further academic work in the electronic field. I don't know why, but it was the area I was kind of focusing in at the time. And I stayed in L.A. for about 2 or 3 years and decided I didn't particularly care for L.A. at that time and moved back to the Bay Area, which is where it was my first exposure to California, and I fell in love with it at that time, and am still in love with the Bay Area. It's just home. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now this is where you started in the Bay Area, where you started to develop more jazz. And
absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
now when I came up here, though, I was doing primarily R&B and, you know, whatever that kind of R&B dance music. Music for lovers and all that kind of stuff. But I realized at one point that, you know, I wasn't going to be able to sing baby, baby, baby and fall down on my knees and screaming and shouting. For,
and do the splits.
Yeah.
So now I know that when you came, this is also when this other aspect of your creativity came online, because you were, during the 80s, part of Jukebox, which was a stage play starring Danny Glover.
Yeah. Well, I got in through that, through the vehicle of singing. I got into theater through singing, using my voice. And I was part of the ensemble there, the background ensemble, which consisted of several of the Bay Area singers who were, you know, kind of big on the scene at that time. So it was a fortunate place to be in, a fortunate situation. But it also opened up my interest in theater and acting.
Mm-hmm. So I understand you studied acting, and then just a year later, you went out for your first audition, and you got cast in Master Harold and the Boys.
Just right up, it was the first play I'd auditioned for. It was really astounding to me, and I had to go in and do a South African accent, and I had no idea what to do, but somehow or another, it just came out during the audition. The audio tapes and things I'd been listening to had paid off, and I pulled the accent off enough so that the third character in the play, who played young Master Halle, the little white kid in the play, who actually happened to be, Michael Wolf was his name, and he actually happened to be from South Africa.
Oh, my goodness.
Oddly enough, lived in the same neighborhood that Athol Fugard lived in, who was the writer of the play.
Right. Well, this is a wonderful piece.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Now, you went on. Now, you've had quite an acting career. I just want to, you know, give people a few highlights. You were in theater, then you expanded into film and television. Mm-hmm. You've got a list of credits that includes film roles in True Crime with Clint Eastwood, Final Analysis with Richard Gere and Kim Basinger, Pacific Heights with Michael Keaton and Melanie Griffin, roles on television like Nash Bridges and Monk, plus television and radio commercials. And this is a lot, but at the same time, were you always singing while you were doing all the acting? Okay.
Absolutely. Never stopped singing. So While all of that was going on, I was actually working with Bobby McFerrin and his iconic group, Voicestra. And I say iconic, I'm not patting myself on the back, but it was something that
had
never been done before.
Well, they were very innovative, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
That was wildly innovative and groundbreaking. And
yeah, so
all
I'm one of the original members of that group, all a cappella, and we started touring that group in 1990. But
and you went all over the world with Voicestra.
Yeah.
That was a massively, massively popular group. So
yeah,
it
was wonderful work. Yeah.
Now, if you hummed a little something from Voicestra, give us just a taste for those who don't know. Can you give us a taste of something?
Oh, the thing is, it's a cappella, so
it
was completely improvised, so there's no
one
piece.
Oh, it was all improvised.
All improvised. Yeah. Yeah, so there's no one piece you could ever say this was a Voicestra piece, you know. Yeah.
I didn't realize that was all improvisational.
Completely.
So you not only had to be able to sing, you had to be able to jump in and be spontaneous in the moment and
absolutely
work with nine other people. That is impressive.
Yes, and you would never know what's going to happen. You'd stand in the wings every night and with a complete blank slate, and you walk out on stage and you create for 2 hours.
Holy cow.
And you never hit that road again. Every night was completely different. So,
well, how exciting that must have been.
Absolutely. Sometimes terrifying, but very exciting.
Oh, my God. Well, we're going to give people another taste of you, Nicholas Beard. Hang on, everybody. This is Save Your Love for Me.
Wish I knew why I'm so in love with you. No one else in this world will do. Darling, please save your love for me. Run away. If I were wise, I'd run away. But like a fool in love,
that is gorgeous, Nicholas. Gorgeous. Now, everybody, if that doesn't put you in the mood, I don't know what will put you in the mood. That is absolutely beautiful. And that's from your third album, is that right?
No, that's the fifth album, actually.
Fifth album. Okay, I can't
keep
up with three.
That's Invitation, yeah. That's Invitation.
That's Invitation. That's your new one. And
exactly.
That is so beautiful. Now, your third album was Live at Yoshi's, a salute to Lou Rawls, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Oh, now, I got to see your show, A Tribute to Lou Rawls. And so many people over the years have compared you to the iconic Lou Rawls, who cut new ground out there in the world of R&B meets jazz. Would that be a fair comparison?
I would say so, yeah. Yeah, it's a good way to put it.
Wow. Well, for those who haven't heard that album, I recommend it highly. It was recorded live at Yoshi's Oakland at the Fame Jazz Club and was produced by Bud Spangler, who is still a favorite on the radio, and it is still a favorite on the radio worldwide. Now, for you, what's been the high point of your career, Nicholas Beard?
Well, I hope that it's not over yet.
I'm sure it isn't.
Yeah, but there have been many high points along the way. I mean, working with Bobby was an amazing period of time. There's so much that I learned being on the road about showmanship, about being on stage, and about being comfortable with who you are and the work you do. So that was really eye-opening. This last album was recorded with Nat Adderley Jr. on piano. And Nat, Nat, as you know, worked with Luther Vandross for almost the entirety of his...
romantic singing.
Yeah, so... And working with Nat and a crew of musicians that I've met in New York and L.A., has been an eye-opener and a great learning experience as well. So I'm continuing that growth in that path, continuing to work with Nat and others.
Okay,
and
now I'm going to put you on the spot, Nicholas.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
If you could say which of your songs is the one that puts you and your wife in the mood, what would you say that song is? Yeah. Bring it.
Oh, wow. Probably Wild is the Wind is probably the most.
Ooh.
That one or Lady Love.
Lady Love. All
which is
right.
Well, Lady Love is from the first album, but Wild is the Wind is from the All About Love album.
Okay, now you have to hum a few bars of one of them. Pick one.
Okay, Lady Love. So.
All right.
Lady Love, you're sitting there with eyes so deep with mystery and lips as red as wine.
Mm.
Softly as a summer night, wind and fireflies enjoy the gentle music of a stream. Darling, let me lay beside you. Kiss my burning lips about you.
Okay, you're going to have to stop, Nicholas. You have to stop. Woo! All right, stop right there. It's a favorite.
Yeah,
okay,
it's
now
John Lucien. It's a John Lucien composition.
What album is that on? We have to get that one.
That's on an album called Crossing the Line. That's the very first album I put out.
Well, you crossed the line there, all right. Okay, everybody, make a note, Crossing the Line, Lady Love. Okay, and I know your lovely wife, Darlene, must love that song.
Oh, she does, she does. She's a big fan.
All right. So, look, you have enjoyed a fabulous career. What's ahead?
More albums. I'm touring... doing a lot of touring in Europe this year, working with an ensemble that's celebrating the music of the jazz of the last 100 years. So it's a group that was put together by Vincent Herring, and we're going to be touring Europe a lot this year, and you know, just exciting things coming up.
Yeah,
but
you were just also in an acting role, starring in the world premiere of the musical Bridges at the Berklee Playhouse this year. Isn't that right?
I did, yes. I got recruited on short notice to do that, yeah. Yeah, it was I sort of put the acting thing down for a minute, but I got an emergency phone call from a friend of mine who was directing that play, and I had 6 days to learn the script, the book,
kidding.
The libretto. Yeah, yeah, 6 days. It's kind of crazy.
That
but
is
it,
crazy.
It worked out.
Oh, I'm so glad it did, because what a challenge. 6 days to learn any role, not alone, you know, and not mentioning we've got music and libretto to learn on top of the acting part.
And a world premiere, so it's
world
like work
premiere.
That you've never seen before. So
that's a challenge. Yeah. So I know you're also
challenge.
A music educator. You do master classes and performance, improvisation. You're on the faculty at the Jazz School in Berklee, California.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You're on a national panel for Popular Voice for Young Artist Programs in Miami. You're resident instructor at the Jazz Camp in Northern California. You're out there doing so many wonderful things to keep music not just alive, but to bring us more alive with your music. Nicholas Beard, it's an honor and a pleasure to have you with us. Everybody, let me give you the website where you can reach the fabulous Nicholas Beard. It's Nicholas without an H, Nicolas Beard, Beard, NicholasBeard.com, NicholasBeard.com. And he's going to be on the road. He'll be in Paris. So all of our friends there in Europe, check him out at Chez Papa. Or I'm going to bring my horrible high school friends to the party here. Cercle Sudois, also in Paris.
Sounds
see
good
if you can
me.
Find that place with my pronunciation. Nicholas, anything you want to leave us with? Music
well,
for
I'm
lovers?
I'm going to be doing a Valentine concert on next week on the 14th at the Cinnabar Theater in Petaluma, Northern California.
All right, yeah. Bay Area folks, California folks, folks who might want to fly in, Center Bar Theater, get in the mood on Valentine's night with Nicholas Beard.
Beautiful Petaluma, California, yes.
Beautiful Petaluma, California. Now, I want to close tonight with one of your wonderful pieces with the Grammy-winning composer, pianist Nat Adderley Jr.
Yes.
Come
and this
back
is fe-
to me.
And this
yeah,
is featuring the saxophone of Vincent Herring.
Vincent Herring. All right. And everybody, thank you, modern lovers. Thank you to our great producer, LeGron Green, our associate producer, Cliff Dunning. And we will absolutely be back with you next week. All right. Here's Nicholas Beard taking us home, everybody. Get in the
thank
mood.
Thank you, Brenda.
Here it is.
Hear my voice where you are. Take a train, steal a car, hop a freight, grab a star. Come back to me, catch a plane, catch a breeze. On your hands, on your knees, swim or fly, only please come back to me. Have you gone to the moon? All around corner saloon, at the rack, at the ruin. I don't care, this is where you should be. From the hill, from the shore, ride the wind to my door. Turn the highway to dust, break the law if you must. Only please, darling, just come back to me.